This week's parsha is Tazrim Metzora in Chutz Laretz. And we have the midst of Bris Milah, so that opens up a whole wide range of interesting topics. So let's discuss whether it is appropriate for a Moel to be paid for his service of this mitzvah. So we have here a Mishnah, Masachas Becharos, Daf Chavtes. The Mishnah also appears in Kedush and Daf Minchas as well. Hanot Tascharo Ladun Dinav Betelin. If a person takes money to get paid in order to sit for a basin, in order to don in a case, or then his din is no good. You can't get, this is a mitzvah to judge, and therefore you can't get paid for it. That's a different discussion. Lehe de duso betelin, if you get paid in order to give edus to give testimony, your edus is no good, because that's a mitzvah. V'hazos lekadesh meimav meimara afro, if you get, a person pays you the kohen to sprinkle the waters of the para aduma on them, so also it's no good. Sefer makala im hayakohen metamam shumasa, it's no good, it ruins the whole thing. So we see here that it seems to be usher to get paid for doing a mitzvah. So therefore the person who's paid to judge, din, bata, all the different types of things are no good, and it would not be affected by the hazav, efer, para, all those different types of things. So the Gemara continues and explains why. Mahani mili, how do we know this is true? Amar of Yehud Amar Rav, da Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Re'ei lamaniti eschem, the Torah says that by Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the beginning of Dvarim, that Moshe told the Jewish people, Re'ei lamaniti eschem, says Chukim and Shpatzim in the pasuk Kasher Tzivani Hashem Alokai, that Kadosh Baruch Hu told me that I have to teach you the Torah. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, Ma'ani Bechinam, just like I did it for free, Afatem Bechinam, so too you also have to teach Torah for free. Tanya Namihach, we have a brace that supports this. Kasher Tzivani Hashem Alokai, Ma'ani Bechinam, Afatem Bechinam. I taught for free, says Moshe. You also have to teach Torah for free. Minayin Shim Lomatz Bechinam Shilmed Beschar. And let's say I can't find someone to do it for free, that I should have to pay them. So they quote a pasuk in Mishlei, Talmud Lomar, Emes Kana, you have to at least go pay for Emes. If at the end of the day, if you can't find anyone to teach Torah for free, you have to go pay. Minayin shel yomer kashim shemati v'schar kachla madena v'schar, Talmud Lomar, Emes Kana v'lo timchar, I can go pay someone, but I shouldn't be the one to actively go and charge for it. So this is the major source that we have regarding not teaching Torah for a price. Torah should be taught for free, but that's not going to be our major discussion. The Gemara in the Nedarim Daf Lamed Zayin says that it's usher for a rebbe to charge money to teach Torah. So it brings the pasuk Rav Amar Schar Shimur, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Schar Pisuk Tamim. There are places where you can charge in the aspect of teaching. So one is that the rebbe is allowed to charge the price for babysitting the children. That's one. If you have a first grade, second grade, third grade, not going to let those boys be themselves. That's a crazy idea. Of course, then someone has to watch them. So the Rebbe is not getting paid necessarily for the Talmud Torah, but he's getting paid to watch them to make sure that they're safe from 9 to 4, whatever the time may be. In addition, in the case where they used to teach the children the tunes for the laning, when they would teach them, when it came coming to Kriyas HaTorah, to learn the Psukim, so the teaching the tunes and how to read the trup is not Talmud Torah, according to the Gemara here, and therefore that aspect that's being taught, he can get paid for that additional part of the teaching.
So simple question here, so trup is not Torah?
That's what it seems to imply. There's a whole discussion of Maharal's whole piece, whether trup is Misinai, all different types of discussion about what it is. But not for right now. So comes the Tosis Riyazakim, not over here on the sheet, it's too long, and the Gemara in Kedushin and Ches, and the Ramban, also in the Torah's Adam, that's the Ramban's major work on end-of-life issues, and they extend the prohibition of taking money to all mitzvos, not just Talmud Torah. All mitzvos have a problem of taking money, and the Shulchan Aruch writes in Yerideya, in Shin Lamed Vav, and the Bir Agra says as well, that it's usher for a doctor to take money to heal someone. Why is that the case? Because the Torah says, V'hashevo salo. There's a mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. And not only is Hashavas Aveda when it comes to physical matters, but it's also one's health. If I'm a doctor and I have the ability to return your health to you, that is Hashavas Aveda. And therefore it's a mitzvah to return the health to someone, and therefore I shouldn't charge someone to give them the opportunity to be a healthy person. However, the doctor is allowed to charge for Schar Batala and Tircha. The doctor is allowed to charge for the fact that he remained free, meaning you don't want to have doctors going off to be plumbers, and then all of a sudden, oh, doctor, I got to get you from your job. So what does it mean, schar batala? We'll return to this phrase later on. Schar batala means I'm paying the individual to be free. I'm paying you to sit and do nothing. It would be nice if I would come to you and you'd heal me, but essentially, schar batala means I'm paying you to be on retainer. That whenever I need you, you'll be available. You won't have to go somewhere else to make a parnasa in another type of area. Or the tircha involved, the efforts, the doctor has to go make sure he has enough tongue depressors, he has to get into work, whatever it is, the other things involved in the process before the actual act of healing. The Cheshek Shlomo learns from Rashi that this is Nisr D'Oraisa to take money for Talmud Torah. The Isra, other people say it's a Nisr D'Rabbanan for the mitzvos as well. According to the above, this leads to our question. A Moel. A Moel is providing the service of a mitzvah. Is it proper, according to these Rishonim that we saw, that it's not okay to charge money for a mitzvah? Is that okay for a Moel to ask the Avi Habein at the end of the day, or even before, you know, it costs a certain amount of money, please pay the bill?
He charged for travel.
Well, we'll get to the different explanations. Let's compound the issue even more. Let's make the question even worse. There is a comment of the Raman Yoredeya in Hilchas Milah and Reish Samech Aleph. This is based on a tshuva of the Rashba in Chelek Aleph and Siman Tav Ayin Beis. The Rashba is talking about that if there is only one Moel in the city, and the Moel demands payment for the Bris Milah, and the father of the child cannot afford the fee, so the halacha is that the father has to go begging for money now. Meaning, potentially, in order to pay the Moel's fee, you'd have to go begging for money. The Beis Din, in such a case, must censure the Moel for not desiring the mitzvah. He's doing the wrong thing. He should be searching for mitzvos, not charging people to do mitzvos. He says this is not the midos of Zero Shel Avram. A Jew does not charge another Jew who can't, in this situation, can't afford to go to charge the Bris Milah to him. To perform such an important mitzvah. Rather, a moel should seek the opportunity to perform the mitzvah and be zocha in the mitzvah. If the moel refuses to back down and he demands payment after censured by Beis Din, then they can be kofa the moel. They can force the moel to go do the mitzvah without payment. Why? Because since the father is unable to do the milah, the Gemara in Kedushin says that if the father can't do the milah, whose responsibility is it? It's the Beis Din's responsibility, and therefore the Beis Din becomes responsible for the child, and it's their achrayus to force the moel to perform the meal. So look here in the Ramah. Ha'av sheinu yodeh la'mol v'yesh kan moel sheinu rotzeh li'mol b'chinam rak b'schar. The father does not do the milah. The moel only wants to charge for it. Yish Beis Din la'gor b'moel ki zeh einu darkin shel zer Avram. It's not a proper Jewish midah. V'adha rava b'moelim mahadrin l'shiyusnu l'hemoel. The moelim should want to go do the mitzvah. They should be searching out for the opportunity. Vim omeid b'mirdo, and he doesn't want to listen. V'enyada ish maseges laseis lo scharo. So it's kamisha ein lo av. It's as if there's no father for the child. And Beis Din is chayv lamolo. The Beis Din has to do the mila, and therefore Beis Din can force him to do the mila. Comes the Vilna Gaon in the Bir Hagra, and he says that a moel who takes money is not from Zera Shel Avram, because he's not gomel chasadim. He's not a righteous person who wants to do chesed for another Jew. And the mitzvah of milah falls on the moel who knows how to do the milah. And the Gemara in Ksuvas Peivav says that we force people to perform mitzvos, and therefore he has to go do it at this point. Comes the Pischei Tshuva. We've discussed it in the past. We had a shiur a while ago about can you trick people in order to do mitzvos. So Rav Yaakov Emden, the Pischei Tshuva cites Rav Yaakov Emden in the Migdal Oz, who says that Beis Din can trick the moel by promising to pay and then not paying. That would be a permissible. The Beis Din's out to say, oh, don't worry, we'll fit the bill, and then say, oops, sorry, credit card is declined, in order to get the moel to do it. However, if the father could pay the moel, then the Birka Yosef says that we don't force the moel to perform the mitzvah for free, if theoretically, again, the Ramah is talking about a case where he can't pay, but if he can do it, and the moel is charging, even though it's not nice, nevertheless, we don't force the moel to do it for free. Rav Tzadok HaKohen writes in the Sefer Zechronos and Mitzvos Milah that it's only allowed if the moel is charging an exorbitant price. So he's kind of knocking down this halacha in the Pischei Tshuva. The moel is charging $1,000 for the meal. Some crazy price. So something like that, so we allow to trick him. Okay. Now let's discuss the heter for the moel to take money. In reality, most moelim do take schar, do take money to perform the mila. In Eretz Yisrael, you know, some moelim can charge 400 shekel, some moelim can charge 1,500 shekel. If you're a moel mumcha, you're known to be someone who's very good. Many moelim have no issue taking money outright. If you look here, the mission that the moelim like to say in Eretz Yisrael, the mission Shabbos Perkutes says, mal velo para kilo lo mal, which literally means if you do mila, but you don't do priya, tearing back the membrane, there's no mitzvah of mila performed. So the moelim like to say, mal velo para, you do mila, but you're not pare, you don't pay, there's no mila. So they say that this is part of the parnasa. We have to get paid. In fact, the Radbaz writes on the Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos in Parak Vav that even the moel wants to do the mila for free, we don't let him do the mila for free. because we want to ensure he does a good job. You want to make sure you pay him to make sure he's going to go and put his all into it. If he does it for free, he might not give it his best. The Gemara in Bava Kamma on Pehei Amud Aleph says, Asid demagin b'magin magin shave. Right, if somebody causes an injury to the injured party, so the mazik says, the damager says, no, I'll bring my doctor in to take care of your bill. I don't want to pay you for the medical damage I caused. I'm going to bring in the doctor who's going to work for free. So the person who is damaged is allowed to say, thanks for no thanks. I prefer that you pay a doctor and not bring in your very shady doctor who's charging you no charge at all. We feel better when you put the investment of the price into something, you feel like you're getting something worthwhile. And therefore, for the Mila as well, the Rabbaz says, you're going to feel you're getting a better product if you are paying for it. Some guy comes up to you and says, you know, hey, I'll circumcise your son for free, so it might make you a little creeped out that maybe this is not what you want to have. This guy's running around offering two meals for free. Therefore, he says, maybe we should prefer to pay so you'll get a better product at the end of the day. The Gemara in Gittin Lamed Vav says that Rav Nachman wouldn't allow the Rebbe to teach children for free because he's not going to do a good job. If he's not going to get paid, he's going to feel like he's not invested in what he's doing. Therefore, better to pay. The Tshuvas HaRambam in the Blau edition, this is not in the Per Hador, this is in the Blau edition, the Chelek Beis and Siman Reish and Gimel. Again, it's a long Tshuva, so we didn't bring it inside. He was asked about a Moel who took the job of another Moel, and then he gave the money to Tzedakah. So the Rambam said, that is a guy who thinks he's Robin Hood, right? He's stealing jobs and giving the money to the poor. So the Rambam says, that's a mitzvah b'avera. This individual already was making a parnasa in Mila, and you come in, take the money from him, and you give the money to Tzedakah. You think you're such a tzaddik because you're giving poor people the money. You stole it from the person who's supposed to have the Mila. What do we see from the Rambam nevertheless? That the minhag in the days of the Rambam was, the Moel gets paid. So the minhag of paying the Moel goes back a very, very long time. Now there are some Moelim who have other forms of parnasa, and they don't take payments for bris Mila. There was a Moel in Yerushalayim, his name was Rav Amram Dehuki, who would actually pay the father for the zechus of doing the Mila. And if the Avi HaBein was an Avrech who was in Kolel, he would pay him $1,000 to do the Mila, because he wanted to support someone who was learning Torah as well. There's a whole organization in Eretz Yisrael where they will pay you to use their Moelim under their contract because they want to bring back the minhag of doing Mila for free and not taking money for it. There's a well-known Moel in Yerushalayim. His name was Rav Avraham Schwartz. And he did Mila for almost 70 years. He lived into his 90s. So the story is told that he was, as a young man, right after he got married, he got very, very sick. And he was bedridden. He was on his deathbed. And someone went to the Rav Aaron of Belz, the Belzer Rebbe, to daven on his behalf. And the Belzer Rebbe said, go to his room and whisper into his ear that if he promises to do Mila for free for the rest of his life, so he'll have Rafu and Yeshua. And that's what happened. He was cured. He came off of his deathbed. And for the rest of his life, from his 70 years, he did Mila for free. So there certainly is a Midas Chasidus. There certainly is a great thing. If a person is able to do the Mila for free, that's certainly the best thing at the end of the day. But that's not the minhag. So let's begin to explain what is the heter for Moelim to make a parnasa of the bris mila. Just as a side point before we begin, according to most poskim, there is a mitzvah of Baal Tullin paying on time for Moelim. Just like any worker who does a job for you, so the Avia Ben Shino, he should probably pay as soon as possible. Let's go to heter number one. I laid out all 12 for you on the sheet. We'll go in order. One, the Beis Meir Reis Norachaim Sim Tafkov Pehei, that you can get paid for any mitzvah that has a tircha. Meal is not such an easy thing. You got to set up, you got to clean up, it requires a skill set, and therefore, since it requires a tircha, a big time of investment, therefore the meal would be included in this heter. Rav Yashiv in his Aros HaMasachos Brachos asks, why teaching Torah isn't a heter then, right? If any mitzvah that is a tircha gets a heter to charge money, well then, Torah also is a tircha. Some Rebbe who's teaching fourth grade boys, that's one of the most difficult jobs in the world. So why shouldn't he get a heter for that as well? So Akasha and the Beis Meir. It could be that maybe Talmud Torah is different because it's a Gzeiros HaKasuv and mitzvos are only learnt out from an extension, maybe Daraisa Darabanan. Perhaps that's the reason why. Reason number two, the Sefer Mila Shlema on page Tufnun Gimel cites Rav Ben Sion Abba Shaul, who said that the payment is for the visit to the baby before and after the meal to see if he is healthy. at a doctor's visit. That's why he's charging. And this is similar to the heter to use.
So if there is no need to mourn, then there'll be no heter paid.
Yeah, I would say according to this reason, 100%. According to this, if he doesn't visit before and after, but I think most Moalim do visit before and after. But I'm saying, in all my, I say two boys, in America and in Eretz Yisrael, I had Moalim visit before and after. So they, I guess, I don't know what the minig is. In the Nishma Savram, in Yoradei Shinlam and Vav, so he says that a doctor can be paid Schar Batala since he's being paid to take care of the non-Jews in the hospital as well. And therefore, since he's already getting paid to take care of the non-Jews, which is not, there's no mitzvah to be merafe them, therefore you conclude the Jews in there as well. So, since you're doing other activities related to the act, therefore they conclude it as well. Says, reason number three, Rav Benzion Abba Shaul, it all, he says that he's being paid for the schar halicha, the travel time, back and forth, going to and from the baby, and obviously another nafkamina for this would be if the baby is brought to the moel. If the baby is brought to the moel, then there's no schar halicha, and you wouldn't have to, you wouldn't be able to charge as well.
By the way, similar to a chashukah and a doctor, he said if you go to the doctor's office, you can't pay him. If he comes to your house, he's tied schar.
Excellent. The same idea. True. Comes the Yad Shaul and his Agos in Yoradei and Simon Reish Samachalef, and he says that if the moel needs the money for the mila, or else he would need to make money another way, you can pay what we call schar batala. Meaning, if this is only parnasa, we enter into the conversation of schar batala, essentially a retaining charge to make sure the moel is free to be available in order to do the mila. But he supports this based on the Riven Hilchos Shvuos and Perek Vav, which is cited by the Taz as well. And the Nahar Mitzrayim says that in Mitzrayim, they paid the Moel for the time he would take away from having a parnas for doing something else. And the Sechemin writes in Chelek Vav, in Mareches, Rosh Hashanah, and Simen Beis, he says that the heter only works if the person is being mevatel other work. Meaning, I could be doing something else, but I'm not. However, says the Sechemin, if the person is doing nothing at all, and your Moel sits around all day, and you know he has he's taking care of investments, and he's doing online trading or whatever it is, so then that's no schar batala because he's not doing anything anyway over there. And the Aruch HaShulchan in Yoradei Simon Reish Samach Aleph says that he heard of a big city where the Moalim didn't want to do the meal at all and lose out on their parnasa. So what did they do? The leaders of the city collected a fund to pay the Moalim, so the Moalim should always be on retainer to make sure, and this became their parnasa. We see a source for this in the Gemara in Ksuvah, Daf Kuf Vav. The Gemara says they would pay official experts who were experts in mumen, in problems on animals, to see if they were good for karbanos, right? Kohanim weren't necessarily knowledgeable in what is healthy about an animal. So they had on retainer, by the Beis HaMikdash, all of Eretz Yisrael as well, people who were experts in identifying what was a mum or not a mum for karbanos. So Tosis explains, they had no other profession, and they were forced to make the living from the Trumas HaLishka. They were paid by the Beis HaMikdash. So we see that you can have someone on retainer in order to do a mitzvah. The Tshuvas of the Maram Shik in Yoradei Simon Reish Shimnem Gimel asks, if this is the case, that they had someone on retainer to examine Kudshim, we know that Kudshim are Asur Bahana. You can't make any benefit off of something that was dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. So isn't this a problem of making money off of Kudshim? Right? This guy is making money off of something holy for the Beis HaMikdash by checking problems in the lungs and things like that. So the Baram Shuk explains that the money isn't for checking the Kudshim, rather so that the experts will be free in order to, so they can check the Kudshim. Again, Schar Batala. You're being paid to do nothing. It would be nice of you if you would decide to take care of this, but technically, you don't have to do anything. You're being paid to do nothing. Okay, this would work as well for the Moel. He's being paid to be on retainer to be free to do bris milas. Reason number five, in the Sefer Milah Shlema, they cite Rav Yashiv, who said that if the father wants a specific Moel, then the Moel can charge. Why? Because the mitzvah is to have the Milah done. You want this specific rabbi, this specific person, this specific doctor to do the Milah? Okay, if you're going to be so hung up on this person, then he's allowed to charge. Anyone can do the Milah, but if you only want this one, then he's allowed to charge. The Chi of Mitzvah isn't on the specific Moel. Reason number two, says Rav Yashiv, that it's because of the specific time. If we say that the Moel has a mitzvah to perform, who says he has to do it right in the morning? The Moel says, I want to do it in the afternoon after work is over. There's time left in the day. Come over to my house. We'll do it over there. You want it to be done at 6 o'clock in the morning? Why do I have to be there? So you'll say, Zrizim Makdim in the Mitzvos. Zrizim Makdim in the Mitzvos is only by noon. I want to do it. I'll do it sometime before noon. And that'll be fine as well.
Is that actually the...
according to some opinions in the Rishon. It has to be before a Chatzos. So therefore, because the family wants the meal at a specific time, the mole can charge.
Can you pass it that way? Because I've seen before sunset.
Oh, no, for sure. So by the Sephardim in general, like having meals in the afternoon, that's the question of, that's a different discussion of Zrizim Atim and the Mitzvos versus Barov Amhadras Malach. If you're going to have more people there versus early in the morning.
I've seen in terms of the more way to see the doctor, so we made the eighth day.
Oh, no, yeah, for sure. Ideally, we want to have it in the morning.
But,
yeah,
sorry,
for sure. 100%. Okay? So if the family wants the meal, you know, at 7 o'clock in the morning, so the mole can say, I'll be there, but you got to charge because I have things to do. Reason number 7 is that Rav Yashiv said that they are paying for the care and the ripui of the mila, the healing of the moel. The Mishnah Yosef in Cheleches and Siman Mem Beis explains that for this reason many people pay after the bandages were changed and cleaned by the moel, because they're paying for the care he comes to do the next day after the mila and the medical care after the bris. Now, this is not so simple. The Sefer Chassidim and the Shulchan Aruch say you shouldn't take schar for healing someone, as we saw before. The Rosh Hashulchan says he can't be paid for his chachma, right? The chachma of healing you shouldn't be paid for, right? If a doctor tells you, I think you should take this medication, go home, that you can't charge for. But you can be paid for the tircha that goes into the profession, the other things, the other processes, dealing with the insurance and dealing with all the other things that happens, that you can charge for. What?
And that's scharling, but if you don't charge, you'll have double insurance.
Correct. Again,
The actual example is that you can charge for the travel time to go visit the person home.
True. Correct. So Lamais, anyway, Rav Moshe writes in the Gross Moshe Nodea, doctors charge money anyway, and that's the minhag. Okay. Reason number 8. Some Moalim accept the money as a gift and not as a payment. He doesn't demand payment. Instead, the Moal will just say casually to the Aviyah Ben, if you're interested in giving something, you know, you can give whatever you want. But he won't name a price. So the Marachele writes in Daf Lamed, he says that the Isser is to demand payment for performing the Mila. However, if there's nothing wrong with accepting money, that's offered on its own. If the person wants to give you money, by all means accept it. The whole Isser of accepting money for a mitzvah is to ask for the money. But if someone wants to give me a gift, by all means, I'm more than happy to take it. The Pasuk says in Vayikra in Perech HaVav, you do my mitzvahs, Hashem says, I'll give you brachas, I'll give you gifts. You do the right thing, Hashem says, I'm allowed to give you gifts for doing the mitzvahs.
What about Bezdin, though?
What?
Bezdin could take a free will gift from somebody.
Correct. That's for sure. The Darkei Tshuva writes in Yerodea Simen Chavches Simen Sif Katzin Samach Aleph, in the name of the Yismach Moshe, Rav Moshe Teitelbaum in Parshas Ekev in the Haftorah, that it's very important that the Aviyah bin pay the Moel something. He says the concept of mitzvah bo yosu mibishlucho, that it's better to do the mitzvah yourself, is only when the shliach does it for free. However, if you pay the shliach mitzvah, the person who's doing the mitzvah for you, then it's like you did the mitzvah yourself. And the Shach writes that if you pay a shliach, then it's yad polak yad shalcho. This is the Shita saying that when you pay someone something, it's as if you're doing it yourself. It's a mila. It makes it more like your mitzvah when someone does the mitzvah on your behalf, because by paying it becomes the mitzvah that you're almost doing yourself. Reason number 9. Some Moalim take the money on behalf of organizations and give the money to tzedakah. There's a very prominent family of Moalim in the Tri-State area who does this. They donate to a specific yeshiva, a specific institution. So this may create a nafkamina regarding meiser, meaning for a regular Moel, you can't use your Meiser money to pay the Moel, since there's a chova to pay him. You can never use Meiser money to pay something you have to pay, right? But for this Moel, who's sending his money to tzedakah, then you can give your Meiser money to pay him, because he's not taking it, he's simply passing it along to another tzedakah as an agent. Another nafkamina would be, if the children of the Moel can collect this money as Yerusha after he dies, because if he's only collecting on behalf of a tzedakah, then it's not his money, it belongs to the tzedakah. But if the money is going to him, then the children will be allowed to collect the Yerusha. That's for the very generous Moel. Reason number 10, if the father ends up doing the Mila himself, this used to be very popular, I think we're trying to shy away from this nowadays, the Moel comes in, he sets up the whole clamp for the baby, and the father does the Mila himself. So in that case, obviously you can pay the Moel, because the father did the Mila, and the Moel just stood there and watched on the side. Reason number 11, Rav Shechter writes in the Ginas Egos in Simen Mem Tes. Rav Shechter says that if the person could blow shofar himself, but he hires someone else to blow shofar, then the Baal Tokei is allowed to collect payment. The entire Isser of collecting money for a mitzvah is when you need the other person to do the mitzvah. But if I could do the mitzvah myself, but I choose to farm it out to another person, then I don't have to. There's no problem paying. Because I could have done it myself if I wanted to. I was not hamstrung by having the other person having to do the mitzvah for me. I decided to give it to somebody else, but I could have done the mitzvah myself. He says, look at the examples that the Mishnah gives. The entire issue of collecting, see, for example, the judging, right? You cannot do that mitzvah yourself. You need another person to judge you in Beis Din. Therefore, it requires a second individual. Therefore, you can't pay. Eidos, testimony. I can never ever fulfill the mitzvah of Eidos myself for myself because I need another person, by definition, to give testimony. Hazas mechata, sprinkling of the ashes of the paraduma. You can't do it on yourself. It demands another person to do it for you. Hashavas aveda as well. You can't charge for hashavas aveda because, by definition, you need another person to do hashavas aveda. Those are mitzvahs that demand another person, and therefore you are not allowed to charge for doing that mitzvah. But by all the other things we're discussing, so you don't necessarily need the other person. So for example, in the case of tkiyah shofar, I could do it myself if I wanted to and learn to do it, but instead I decide to hire somebody else. By mila, I could learn, theoretically, how to do mila. It doesn't demand me hiring a moel, but because I didn't want to learn how to do mila, I'm offering somebody else to be paid on behalf.
Can I physically do it myself?
What?
You can physically do it yourself.
Can you do meal on yourself?
That's what's really on you for yourself. The greater
mitzvah. Okay, theoretically.
The real person's over is when you're 13.
Yeah, so theoretically you could.
I would counsel against
it. Correct. I think doctors would probably counsel against it. But theoretically you could. But we see here as well that if the mitzvah could theoretically be done by you and you choose not to do it, then there's no problem paying the other person to do it. Because I don't need them. I'm just offering them to do it. It's the whole issue is, says Rav Schechter, is when somebody else is holding you hostage. You need the other person to continue going, and because the halacha demands the other person to charge you money. And the same thing is by Talmud Torah. By definition, you need a Rebbe to teach you Torah. You need someone to have it being taught to you. Whether it's from a book or whether it's something else, you need that additional source to teach it to you. Unless nothing else. Meaning, it demands Talmud Torah, you cannot charge for it because you need another person to give you information that is inaccessible to you. Nowadays, we live in a society where things are more accessible in other forms, but the reason still holds true. So the Sei Chemed in Chelek Vav also cites a proof for this from the Mishnah Pirkei Avos in Parak Aleph. The Mishnah says in the name of Nitai Har Bailey, he taught V'kanei Lecha Chaver. You should purchase for yourself a friend. So the Bartanur explains that you can spend money in order to have friends. But what does the Mishnah then say? It doesn't say Knei Lecha Rav. It says Asei Lecha Rav. You should have yourself a Rav. Why doesn't it say you should charge for having a Rebbe? Because the Rebbe has to teach you for free. You can learn with a friend, B'chavrusa, but at Talmud, you can't be a student of Mitzvah's Talmud Torah without a Rebbe. You can learn with another person, but that's not the Mitzvah of being taught of Limud HaTorah. Paying the Rebbe would violate the Schar Mitzvah. So that is reason number 11. The Moel, theoretically, is not necessary. You're choosing to do it because you don't want to learn Hilchos Mila yourself. Reason number 12, learning how to be a Moel and getting the tools necessary and the travel and learning the lessons can be incredibly expensive. It can cost more than $10,000 for the whole investment of learning to do Mila. And therefore, charging for the Mila can be used to cover those expenses.
We don't say Schar Mila the doctor has, use example, let's assume, yeah. That he can't charge for his car limud. The limud costs the money.
Correct.
I'm sure it's the...
I hear it. I'm not sure.
I'm using...
Here. So we have 11 and a half, but 12 reasons. Let's just look at one more topic, just to wrap it up, and that is, does a moel who takes money still patzer the tzibur from Tachman? Is he the same level as a moel who doesn't charge money? So this is a machlokas haposkim. Rav Yaakov Landau, who was the Av Basin of Bnei Brak, so he has a letter to Rav Menashe Klein in the Mishnah Halachos in Chelek Gimel in Simen Chaf, and again in Chelek Tezayin in Simen Ayin Dalad. Apparently this is something that he was very into. Also, Sternbach writes in the Chulis HaHanagos in the Chelak Aleph that a moel who gets paid doesn't exempt the tzibur from tachnun because his actions are not the shei mitzvah. He's only doing it for the money. And even if he has a heter to make a parnasa, it's not considered the baal simcha. He's not doing it for the simcha sa mitzvah. Only if he accepts money, a schar batala, can he be exempt him from tachanun. Similarly, the Pesachei Tshuva writes in Yeridaya, in Simon Reishon and Vav, who notes that there's a mitzvah to stand for the gabbai tztaka, who's involved in the mitzvah of collecting tztaka when he comes in, because he's doing a mitzvah. However, says the Pesachei Tshuva, if the gabbai tztaka takes a cut for the tircha of collecting tztaka, then you don't stand for him, because he's not totally invested in the mitzvah, the shame mitzvah. If the bris will be, and if the bris will be later in shul that day, then perhaps then maybe they'll be patur from tachanun. But that moment, because of the moel, meaning if the moel's davening in another shul, and he's going to do a meal later on, so according to these poskim, Rabbi Landau and the other poskim, it doesn't patur the tzibur from tachanun because it's not the simchas ha-mitzvah. However, the Be'er Sarim and Simen Samech Vav and Chelek Gimel Simen Ayin Beis argues that we are exempt from tachanun because other reasons are coming as well. Elyon Navi comes to the bris milah, and he's coming to the room. But again, if he's not going to be in that shul, it wouldn't apply. The skipping of tachan has nothing to do with the schar that the mo'el takes, he says. Rav Menashe Klein also argues that this day is a yantiv, like hakravas hakorban. The mo'el's on his way to do a mitzvah, so he's making money. Okay, he's still doing something that's considered a yantiv for him. He's doing something that's very important. And therefore, there's no reason to say that he shouldn't say tachan as well. The Torah Sabris says, the minog is that there is no tachan, even if the moel present is taking money. Just 2 points to this to add. I imagine it would probably be very embarrassing for the moel if he's in a place and they don't say tachanun because he's collecting money for the mitzvah. I assume that would be something very embarrassing. Probably better to skip tachanun anyway, not to embarrass him. Also, we've seen halacha in many, many cases, it's possible to have two kavanas. You can do something for A and also do something for B. So, as well, here as well, the Tshuva Sesoris Tshuva in Chela Gimel says that the moel has ikar kavan l'shei mitzvah, and he's also getting paid, so that's fine. Why can't the person also have kavana for the sake of the mitzvah lishma and also be getting paid? It doesn't detract from it.
For example, money taken away, let's say in Rosh Hashanah, the minute, to give the baal tekeya and the baal, that's only if they aren't getting paid. If they're getting paid,
correct,
there's no requirement. So you can see
correct.
That.
We definitely have the source. I would say it seems that according to the bris milah svar on the minig is that we skip tachan anyway if the mo is going to be paid.
That's
we will stop here.